Shalom, and thank you for listening at BethEmmanuel.org. Beth Emmanuel relies on the generosity of our listeners to sustain our Messianic synagogue. Please consider a donation to Beth Emmanuel, where Messianic Judaism is more than an idea. It's really happening.
Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar said, "Do not attempt to calm your fellow in his moment of anger, and do not offer him a consolation while his dead still lies before him. And do not ask him to rethink an oath at the moment he makes it. And do not attempt to visit him at the time of his downfall." Pirkei Avot. We are coming off a period of time called the 3 weeks. It's an unusual period of mourning and lamentation that culminates with the height of mourning on the fast of Tisha B'Av, the anniversary of the destruction of the temple. When the prophet Jeremiah saw the ruin of the city and the toppling of the temple, he wept over the city, and he composed the keynote of Eicha, we call the Book of Lamentation. When our master saw the ruin of the city and his father's house through the prophetic lens with which the Spirit revealed to him the future, he wept over the city as well, as if it already laid in ruins. But there comes a time when a word of consolation is appropriate, after the funeral, after the entombment or burial. At that point, it's appropriate to offer a word of consolation to the bereaved. And the traditional word of consolation is this: "May God comfort you among the mourners of Zion and Jerusalem." This is in keeping with the words of our master Yeshua, that he told the people of his generation, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." I think the intention of this saying is in reference to those who mourned over Zion. In the Master's day, the Jewish people lived under the boot of Rome. "Those who mourn" refers to those who mourned for Zion, for Jerusalem, and the Jewish people. And when he said these words, he prophetically hinted toward those who would soon mourn over the destruction of Jerusalem and the temple. "Daughters of Jerusalem," he said, "do not weep for me. Weep for yourselves and for your children." When he says, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted," he has in mind the coming redemption. In the kingdom, Zion will be free, no longer under the domination of other nations. Jerusalem will be rebuilt. The temple will be a house of prayer for all nations. Then the mourners will be comforted. This is the larger meaning of the words, "Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted." But these words also apply to all of the Master's disciples who live in hope of that coming kingdom. In the kingdom, all our sorrows will be reversed. The dead in Messiah will be raised, and everything wrong with the world will be turned right. Then we will find comfort along with the mourners over Zion and Jerusalem. This is the gospel message that we proclaim. Believe on our Master Yeshua, who was crucified, resurrected, and ascended to the right hand of the throne of God. Repent in his name for the forgiveness of sins, and trust that he will rescue you in the coming day of the Lord and the day of judgment. He is called the Consolation of Jerusalem. When Miriam and Yosef brought the month-old child to the temple for his pidyon, they encountered Shimon HaKohen and Chana HaNeviah Ba'asher. Shimon HaKohen, the priest, was righteous and devout, looking for the consolation of Israel, Luke 2:25. And Chana HaNeviah Ba'asher was among those who never left the temple, serving night and day with fastings and prayer, who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem, Luke 2:37 and 38. One of them was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The other was waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. That means they were both waiting for the same thing, the Messiah. Mashiach is Menachem Tzion, the consolation of Zion. And in the Talmud, it says that one of his names is Menachem, Menachem, comforter. Of course, I'm speaking about Shabbat Nachamu, which means the Sabbath of consolation. The Hebrew word Nacham means to comfort or to console. Shabbat Nachamu is always the Sabbath following the anniversary of the destruction of Jerusalem. It derives its name from the first word of the Haftarah reading, Isaiah 40, where it says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Isaiah 40, 1 and 2. We read these words of consolation over Zion after the anniversary of the destruction of the temple in order to remember the hope for the coming kingdom and rebuilding of the temple. On the eve of Tisha B'Av night, we heard the Book of Lamentations. It said that Jerusalem has none to comfort her, and that she has no comforter. In today's Haftarah, we hear that message reversed. There is comfort for Zion. There is consolation for Jerusalem. This Sabbath begins a series of seven special Haftarah readings selected from Isaiah. They are called the Seven Consolations. Each one is a prophecy about the redemption. Each one contains end times hints and clues about the return from exile, Zion's restoration, and ultimately the Messianic Kingdom of Heaven on Earth. The Seven Consolations describe the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the Holy House of God. The Seven Consolations even go so far as to introduce the Messiah as the mysterious servant of the Lord. The 3 weeks in Tisha B'Av really hit differently since October 7, since the October 7 massacre of 2023, and this current war began. The atrocity on October 7 left a fresh wound on the Jewish soul and collective spirit of the people. On Tisha B'Av, we lament the atrocities of the past, all of them. All of them piled onto one day, from the destruction of the temple in the days of Jeremiah the prophet, all the way through the Crusades, the expulsions, the pogroms, the persecutions, up to the Holocaust. It's all heaped on this one day. And now we also lament a massacre, not from a generation ago, but from our own day and time, as it says in the Haggadah, "In every generation they rise up against us to destroy us." So the 3 weeks and the fast days carry much more weight and solemnity for the whole nation. And the conflict has not stopped. We refer to October 7 as if it was an event in the past, but it continues every day for the people living in the land of Israel, for the hostages and their families, for the people displaced by the war, for the soldiers fighting in Gaza, for the people in Judea and Samaria, both Palestinians and Israelis. The 3 weeks and the fast of Av feel heavier now, more significant than ever, because the world has completely changed. Hatred and vilification of Israel and the Jewish people has spilled over and swept through the nations in a sudden and abrupt transformation that would have been unthinkable and unimaginable just a few years ago. It's coming from every direction. It's coming from the Muslim world. It's coming from Europe. It's coming from Africa. It's coming from South Africa, who has brought a lying accusation of genocide of the Palestinian people to the International Court with arrest orders to arrest the leaders of Israel and so forth. It's coming from Ireland, who has gone full on in anti-Semitism. It's coming from Canada. It's coming from old England, which has acquiesced to the Muslim immigrants and pro-Palestinian protesters that filled the streets of London. It's coming from France. It's coming from Turkey, who has threatened to invade Israel over and over again. It's coming from our schools of higher education and universities. It's coming from elementary schools and high schools. It's coming from students. It's coming from faculty. It's coming from social media. It's coming from the media. It's coming from the talk shows and podcasts. It's coming from CNN, BBC, the AP, all the networks. It's coming from the New York Times. It's coming from the Washington Post and all the regular suspects. It's coming from the progressive liberals and the not-so-progressive liberals. It's coming from the queers and the transgender movement. It's coming from the Christian nationalists and the Christian alt-right. It's coming from the alt-right conspiracy world. It's coming from the Nazis, neo-Nazis, and white supremacists. It's coming from Hollywood, from the actors and superstars. And it's coming from the music industry, pop stars and celebrities. It's coming from people like Candace Owens and from people like Tucker Carlson, Piers Morgan, Joe Rogan. It's coming from the church. It's coming from the liberal mainline denominations like the Presbyterians, and it's coming from Reformed theologians and evangelicals. It's even coming from the Hebrew roots people who are quick to jump on the anti-Judaism bandwagon. It's a brewing storm, a perfect storm. It reminds me of what our master said, "You will be hated by all people because of me." In this case, you will be hated by all people because of my people, because of Israel. It's the opposite of what you would think would happen. For example, when terrorists blew up the World Trade Center in 2001, we did not see the streets and college campuses erupt with anti-American protests. And when we retaliated with a war against the Taliban in Afghanistan, we did so with an international coalition. But in this case, when Palestinian terrorists murdered and killed civilians, peace activists and liberals, kids, families, children, completely innocent people dragged from their homes, shot in their houses, shot in the streets, raped and brutalized, burned alive, taken hostage, the world has made the worst terrorists out to be heroes for all nations to cheer and rewards their terror. It's as if the whole world has fallen under the same spell, the same beguilement, the same deviltry. Not only are they misinformed, but intentionally and belligerently addicted to the lie, rejecting the truth, closing their eyes to the truth, and repeating the lies over and over. I've never seen anything remotely like it in my lifetime. I know the Bible says that these things would happen, but I never thought to see it in my day so quickly, so abruptly, in such an astonishing manner. In September of 2023, as we entered the high holidays, I could not have imagined how quickly the world would rush to fulfill Bible prophecy. But looking back to September of 2023, I was teaching you about the coming of the false Messiah, the Antichrist, the man of lawlessness, who comes with a great apostasy, a falling away. He is called the Son of Destruction, and his coming is described in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. His coming is in accord with the activity of Satan, with all power and signs and false wonders, and with all the deception of wickedness for those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence, so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. I prefer the statement in the language of the old King James Version, where it says, "And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." I believe what we have seen is utterly supernatural. It seems to me that it certainly qualifies as a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Consequently, Tisha B'Av feels heavier now. It feels different, because the whole world is different. And now we've come to Shabbat Nachamu, the Sabbath of Consolation, when we once more hear the voice of the prophet issuing from the wilderness, declaring the good news, the gospel message, a word of consolation. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. Call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins already. A voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up and every mountain and hill be made low, and let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Isaiah 40:1-5. So we are not disheartened or frightened. Instead, these things we endure remind us that our hope is real, and that the Bible is true, and that the Torah is true, and that the prophets are true. Our hope is not set upon this world. Our hope rests upon nothing less than the proclamation of this gospel message. There is a coming day of reckoning when the Messiah is going to return and defeat the enemies of his people and repay each person for what he has done. As it says in 2 Thessalonians, then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. So yes, it grows dark outside as the night falls, but we do not lose hope, not even for a second, not for a moment. Only in the darkness can you see the stars, as it says in our Haftarah portion, lift your eyes up to the heavens. Who created these? The Messiah is going to clear away the lies and dispel the darkness, and in that hour, everyone will see the truth. Then the word of consolation will be declared, comfort, O comfort, your warfare has ended. When we see these things, it should cause us to wake up and pay attention, and to remember that we are not merely playing religious games and rituals, but all of this is completely real, as real as the physical resurrected body of our Master. He is not a fiction. Not wishful thinking, not opiate for the masses or superstition for the credulous. Isaiah says, get yourself up on a high mountain, O Zion, bearer of good news. Lift up your voice mightily, O Jerusalem, bearer of good news. Lift it up. Do not fear. Say to the cities of Judah, here is your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with might, with his arm ruling for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. Like a shepherd, he will tend his flock. In his arm he will gather the lambs and carry them in his bosom. He will gently lead the nursing ewes. Isaiah 40:9-11. All nations are destined to turn against Israel, and to turn against us. But what does that matter to us? When you look out at the array of those who have aligned themselves against truth, against righteousness, and against the Jewish people, against Judaism, against the Messiah, and against God, remember that Paul said, in the day when the Antichrist is to be revealed, they will fall under a strong delusion so that they would believe a lie, because they are under judgment. Isaiah says, behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are regarded as a speck of dust on the scales. Behold, He lifts up the islands like fine dust. Even Lebanon is not enough to burn, nor its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are regarded by him as less than nothing, meaningless. Isaiah 40:15-17. The world's hatred of us is God's judgment upon the world. The apostle says that the nations fall under the delusion to believe the lie because they did not receive the love of the truth so as to be saved. For this reason, God will send upon them a deluding influence so that they will believe what is false, in order that they may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. But we should always give thanks to God for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God has chosen you from the beginning for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and faith in the truth. It was for this he called you through our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. 2 Thessalonians 2:13-14. What is the glory of our Master Yeshua the Messiah that we may gain? It is the resurrection of the dead and the restoration of all things. Just as he was raised on the third day, he said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it again." 2 Thessalonians 2 says, "So then, brethren, stand firm and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word of mouth or by letter from us. Now, may our Master Yeshua the Messiah himself, and God our Father, who has loved us and given us eternal comfort and good hope by grace, comfort and strengthen your hearts in every good work and word." What is the eternal comfort that God has given us? It's the promise of eternal life for the kingdom, the resurrection of the dead, and the world to come at the time of the coming of our Master Yeshua. This is the gift of consolation and the good hope by grace, which is the good news itself. When we focus our minds upon this eternal comfort, this good hope, then our minds and hearts are comforted and strengthened, so that we are strong for every mitzvah and every good deed and every good work and every service of our King and every good word of our Master Yeshua, whereby he has instructed us on the straight and narrow path that leads to life. And there is no greater consolation, no greater righter of wrongs, no political solution or financial remedy, no political candidate, no ballot box or election, no diplomats, no influencers, no billionaires, no social engineers that can rescue us today or can offer us such a good hope as this and eternal consolation, eternal comfort. Take on my yoke and learn from me, and find rest for your soul.